Hello everyone, welcome to my podcast. My name is Ozioma Paul and I'm really, really excited to be doing this today. Today is a beautiful Sunday morning-ish afternoon. I have just finished streaming service. My church actually here is not yet open. It's getting tiring, I won't lie to you, because like most other things are open. But yeah, God knows best. And we're just hoping and praying that it opens soon. And I'm just sitting in my room, staring out my window. There's this really beautiful, like, lush garden right in front of my room, in front of the house, and it's really beautiful. I'm noticing that it's slightly overgrown, and I'm just thinking in my head what to do with it. But yeah, anyway, it's a really beautiful day here, and I'm so excited, and I hope you are safe in your corner of the world, and you're doing great and healthy. So today I'm just going to be continuing. I started a 3-week series last week I spoke on my journey to wholeness, right? And last week I spoke about the physical aspect, how that my journey into loving myself and how that my inspiration for being fit or living healthy is from the word of God. If you haven't listened in, you can just like listen in after, or yeah, when you're done with this, or you can go on and listen right now. And today I'm going to be talking about emotional wholeness. Now, I know emotions means like different things, but just for context, I'm going to be talking about like love and relationship, that kind of thing, and my journey into where I am right now. Now, if you've known me for a long time, you're probably surprised, why is she talking about emotional wholeness? What journey? Like, I mean, I've been quite vocal about like in the past, you know, about singleness and how you should be content and all of that and all of that. And I didn't even know that, and if you had asked me at that time, I would tell you that, I'm probably good. I don't need anything else, or I'm whole and all of that, until the Holy Spirit started to open my eyes. And I think that's what is very, very, very important. Because the thing is, when you give your life to Christ, you need to be transformed from the kind of person you were before and unlearn certain things, right? And even when you give your life to Christ after salvation, you still need to keep renewing your mind, because there's many things that you have picked up or even still pick up along the way, you know, if you're not intentional, and the Holy Spirit would have you renew your mind, you know, and just unlearn certain cultures and certain traditions. So I'm going to be talking about my journey. Like, I think from secondary school, I wasn't one of those people who was particularly bothered about relationships. I didn't even, like, I wasn't interested, to be honest. I was very busy with my life when I was in secondary school. I wasn't busy doing anything major. I mean, there was school, but I was also busy playing. Like, guys, this is embarrassing, but up until my penultimate years, that was called like SS2. That's the year before I graduated. I was still doing paper money. Like, if you don't know paper money is what, when you tear up your notebooks into like paper note sizes, and then you just write like 50 naira, 10 naira, 100 naira, and then I had a lot of money. That means that I had torn, me and my sister actually, it wasn't just me, I had torn like most of my old notes and made them into money bundles. Actually, as an SS2, I don't think I was still tearing my own notes. I think it was my sister, she goes here, who was like mostly tearing her own notes up at this point, because obviously, what are they doing in GS1? And the day my mom caught us, Lord. But before then, let's just say I was extremely busy, you know, just playing around, stacking money and hiding the money away from my mom so that she doesn't get to see us and deal with us. And in between all of that, I was just busy being a child. Busy being a teenager, you know. So up until then, I wasn't like really, even up until when I was in SS3. No, don't mistake this for me not saying that I didn't have like crushes or whatever. Of course I did as a teenager, but most of them, I'm not going to lie to you guys, were serious people. They are the ones that used to sit at the back. They were not serious with their lives. So like, even though my hormones and, you know, just being a teenager was like, I mean, I found them attractive because, again, teenager, fine boy and all of that. But my brain will not still permit me to just, you know, go on and build relationships with them or bond or even listen to them. I was just very, I was just that kind of girl. And like, even the way I used to dress to school self, I don't think I was on the mind of any of these young men, because I was not, my skirt was supposed to be like a skirt and blouse shirt, which was supposed to end at my knee. My own skirt was almost reaching the top of my stockings when I wear stockings, almost at my ankle. I used to make like Kiko to school. I wasn't shabby or unkept, but let's just say I wasn't making any effort. I was just living like the child that I was. I was 14, so you would understand that, right? Okay, maybe at 14, other people were doing other stuff. But I don't know. That's just it. But going into university, I just, you know, got thrown into that space. I went to Unilag and I had like huge crushes that lasted for years, eternal crushes. And, you know, and of course, like I also started like, of course, updating the way I looked and all of that. And of course, you know, not all manner of people, but like, you know, guys started to talk to me, ask me out and all of that and all of that. And now at that time, right, like I got to know God pretty early. Now, guys, I promise this story is certainly leading somewhere. So please follow. Yeah, there's a lesson I'm just going to draw out at the end, or lessons. So I knew God early in life, you know, by the grace of God, you know. So I could hear God speak to me clearly, you know, sometimes clearly, sometimes through, most times actually through like the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I could not say at that time in my life when I was getting into university or even through university that I would make like life decisions on my own. So for most of these people, I would not commit to them because it wasn't just God's plan for me, and I knew. It was a different case if I didn't know, and I really did not know and I was confused, but I knew. So it was just not even going to happen for me to commit to them. But even though I didn't commit to them, I built a habit of, you know, emotionally attaching myself to 1, 2, 3, 10, several people. And, you know, that was what God pointed to me one day. So one particular day I was retreating, and, you know, there's this thing I usually do. I'll talk about it next week by God's grace when I'm talking about the final part of this, my journey to wholeness and the spiritual bit. And if you've noticed, right, listening from the first one, you realize that there is no, it's not a distinct thing. It's not like, you see, God is not just a part of your life or part of your spiritual life or your this one life. God is our life as children of God. So obviously, like, God is a part of the entirety of your life. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, God is not just a part of your spiritual life. God wants to be your academics, your career, your physical, your emotions, and all of that, right? So going back to what I was saying, I was retreating one time in prayer, just collecting or receiving instructions for the next phase of my life. And in that time, God was saying something to me about emotional, like, healing myself or building up myself or becoming emotionally whole. And I was like, I think this message is for someone else. Maybe it has to be with maybe one of my girlfriends or a sister. Because obviously, I was single most of my life, right? So I could not have been, that message could not have been for me. But as I listened on closely and I opened up my heart more, the Holy Spirit started to tell me how that it was actually for me, and how that even though I was single, like for the most part, I literally had a lot of emotional attachments and baggages I was carrying that I was not supposed to carry. Now, let me break it down to you. It wasn't, now, I don't know if you understand a situation where you get heartbroken from a relationship that didn't even exist in the first place. That's exactly what I was doing to myself. So even though I knew that this one cannot be God's will for my life, or I didn't even bother to pray about this one, or I didn't even bother to wait on God about this one, I just know that it's not the will of God for my life, I still ended up building relationships. Like, it's just that it wasn't official, that boyfriend and girlfriend, but I still ended up being attachment. So an instance is maybe this particular person that I meet, and I'm attracted to him, yeah, quite okay, but I know in my heart of hearts that this is not God's will for me. So maybe because we're first of all, it might be a Christian, fine, but maybe because we're on different journeys. So me, I want to go to Abuja, he's going to Canada. Or me, I want to go to, let me change it. Me, I want to go to Canada, he is going to Nasarawa, or he is going to Lagos. And, you know, just that difference, I just knew, you know, by the spirit discernment. And in some cases, there were just like character traits that I just knew that, this one is not good for me. But still, I would still go on. So if you ask my cousins that I stayed with when I was in Unilag, you would tell you that there is no way Ozioma even wants to lie that she was single through that period. Because me, I was the chief master of Midnight Call that year. I was the chief mistress, even till now, like, not till now, but like till God was telling me that thing. Then I was the chief, you know, mistress of, you know, just having long phone calls. And the thing about this thing is, like, even if you do not plan it, even if you say in your mind that, oh, I'm not attached to this person, or I don't want to have anything to do with this person, I don't want to date this person, or if you even said no to someone, what happens is if you continue to open up your heart, you know, and just releasing your virtues and just I don't know how to say it. Like, if you just continue to constantly share your life with this person, whether you want it or not, with or without your permission, you begin to catch feelings. That's just how it works. Like, I don't know how it works for other people, but for me, that's just how it used to work. And, like, catching these feelings now, knowing in my heart that this is not God's will for my heart life, there was just, like, a lot of noise. And sometimes it's, like, 2, 3, 4, several guys. And this one, what's this one's story? This one, what's this one's story? Just all of them. And there's the one that I'll call when, you know, I'm tired and I just want to be pampered, or I just want to listen to Jesus, I just want someone to rant to. No, this is not the same as having friends, though. May I have, like, very good, like, male friends? That's not the same thing. I hope you understand, like, it's different. Just this one is just like, how do I explain it? Like, seeking emotional support or comfort or attachment from people you should not be seeking it with. Now, there was a very clear line for me. I'm not going to lie to you guys. There was a very clear line. You will never find me maybe sexting or talking dirty with someone. Like, that one never did happen. Like, you'll never even find me doing it till tomorrow. But there were still, like, other things. So, like, even if you were not talking dirty or lustful with this person, there was just the fact that as a young woman, I just didn't have boundaries, you know. So everybody would just call and just, you know, talk. So at that time, going, like, it wasn't embarrassing. Like, when God was talking to me, I was like, list out the names of these people. You know what I'm talking about. And I started to list out the names. I was even embarrassed by the list. And then the Holy Spirit's like, what's the issue with this person? I'm like, okay, yeah, this one, I know that he's an unbeliever. Like, seriously, so are we having this conversation? I'm like, well, no, sir. The second one, and this one is a believer, but he doesn't really know where he wants in life. And the thing is, if you don't have clarity, I don't know how someone you can journey with someone that doesn't have clarity. Bible says that can two work together except they be agreed. So if you as a person, you don't even know what you want to agree upon, how can you be agreed with someone else? It just doesn't make sense, right? And they were just like, oh, that issues. By the time I and God had finished discussing and going through, like, the entire list, it was empty. I was left with nobody to call, nobody to do this. And, like, it wasn't just that. Like, the Holy Spirit was also instructing me that beyond that, I was expected to, like, build boundaries, okay? So even beyond just canceling them in my heart, and even doing it alone in your heart is so liberating, because there's less noise. And, like, when the right person comes, your eyes can be open to clearly see. But if you have so many noise and so many distractors around you, especially as a young woman, I don't know about men, because again, I'm not a man. This is not me just being gender specific or just picking at sisters. It's just because I'm not a man, right? So it's all that noise doesn't even allow you to learn from God, or for you to, like, move forward. Like, essentially, right, God was telling me that those things were pulling me down, even in my relationship with him, because it was noisy. My heart was noisy, you know. You want to sleep. You can't even sleep in peace. And it doesn't even make sense. Like, why are you committing yourself, your time, your resources to someone, you know, you are not building life with? Now, this is not the same thing as having friends and being a part of their lives and them being a part of yours, but it was just unhealthy for me, right? And that was the first one. The second one was the fact that deep rooted in all of that was the fact, now I was secure in being single because I had all of these other things. I don't know if it makes sense. I had all of these other people. So if it's to gist, if it's someone to pamper me, if it's someone to give me compliments and make me feel all right, like, they were all there. But behind all of that, or deeper than all, underneath all of that, rather, there was also the fear, or the, is it fear? I don't know the word to use exactly, but that feeling of, what if it never happens? Let me just keep someone as a plan B. And the Holy Spirit was pointing that out to me as a case of distrust, you know? So because I was distrustful, I wasn't trusting God enough. And the Holy Spirit literally just asked me, Ozioma, do you trust me or you don't? Because the thing is, if you trust God, you'll be willing to put all your eggs in one basket. You'll be willing to do things his way and let go of everything else that is not his way, just for you to see his will come to pass in your life. Do you get, like, and that was what the Holy Spirit was asking me to do. The Holy Spirit was literally saying, let go of all the other crutches that you have used to support yourself and walk. I remember when I had the accident I speak about very often. If you, like, follow me, I think I wrote about it on my blog one time. Yeah, I did. You can check it out. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll leave a link. I don't know. This is on YouTube, so I really don't know how it works. But yeah, in that accident, I remember that I broke my shoulder and my knee or something like that. And, you know, I was wearing, like, a cast for weeks, like, I think it was 5-6 weeks on my arm. So the doctor had told me that it was going to take about 10 weeks or was it to heal? But I've always just had this testimony of God causing my healing to be rapid and very confusing to the doctors. The same case happened again when I fell sick and I had that surgery I spoke of the last time. But this particular one, you know, my arm was broken. It was hurting. So obviously I had to wear a cast. Now, the only time initially, like my mom was the one beating me and all, but as I started to heal and get stronger and she was busy with her life, so I just had to like take up some of the responsibilities. It's just that bathing took me a bit more longer, but I started to like move my arm and all of that. So I remember, like, you know, when I was going for the time when they removed, was it the time they removed the cast? Or the one, the appointment just before they removed the cast, I had been wearing it for a long time. I had not even attempted, because after the injury, I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't raise my hand up as I'm raising it now. So thank God that I cannot raise it. I couldn't raise my hand or do anything. I couldn't even move the hand. So I got there and the doctor is like, raise your hand. I'm like, sir, did they tell you? Because it was a new doctor. So I was like, sir, did you read the file that they say I broke my, what they call it? I don't know what they call it now. Is it, I can't remember what the name was. So I obviously cannot raise my hand. He's like, yeah, but you've been wearing a cast for a while, so raise your hand. I'm like, I cannot. And then he comes over to try to support me, and I start to cry profusely. Hey, I start to just weep and wail. I can't raise my hand, sir. Sir, I cannot raise my hand. He's like, just raise your hand. Have faith and raise your hand. Let's see if it's healed. And after much persuasion and all of that, I begin to raise my hand slowly, 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 until I almost raised it at, which one is this degree? This 90 degree, Abby. Until I almost got to like 90 degree with my arm, and then I felt the sharp pain, and I just, you know, went back down. It's like, let's do it again. And I realized that I was so scared of letting go, but I was healing. I was healing, and I was healing like rapidly. So the next time I came, which was the final time, which they took, when they took out the cast, I could raise my arm like to almost, you know, this one has 180 degree, like, so almost like, you know, raising it up like 180 degree. And it was so exciting for me because when I was going the second time, I now knew that my body was healing, even though I couldn't feel it, you know, so I was more confident to raise up my hand. It was the same way, you know, with what happened to me. And in that room, God was saying, let go of your fear. The fact that you have lived so long on these unhealthy habits, you know, of being boundaryless as a young woman, and even though you were not, and even though you were not, like, you know, maybe in a relationship or committing any sexual sin per se, it was still unhealthy. You know how the Bible says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient for you or are useful for your growth, that kind of thing. So that's what the Holy Spirit was saying to me, that I should just let go and trust him. You know, put all your eggs in one basket. If you say you trust me, put all your eggs in one basket. So after much back and forth, I prayed, you know, I broke down, I worshipped. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening my eyes to how I can better be like you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening my eyes to how I can prepare for the woman that you're making me into. And I started on that journey. Now, it wasn't all smooth. I wish I can really come here and say, and so I became whole, and that's the end of the story. No, as I started on the journey, I realized, first of all, I had to like set boundaries. So Holy Spirit was like, as a young, very single woman, there's no need for you to be picking calls after 10 p.m. because, let me tell you something, there's a spirit there's a spirit that operates in midnight calls and all these things. Especially, this person is not your beloved. You don't, this is not somebody, this beloved, I learned it from Ghanaian people. This person is not your boyfriend or your girlfriend or you're engaged or you're something. So there is no need for you to be stirring waters of love in the middle of the night. Anyways, that was what the Holy Spirit told me personally, to just let go. And I mean, if it's a work call, even send me an email. I did not, like, I stopped picking my calls. I'll just tell people, sorry, I don't pick calls again after 10. I'm like, what's happening? And I also had to, like, have very, very difficult conversations with some of these guys, because in the process of me just living recklessly, no, it wasn't, it's probably not reckless, you know, in the eyes of the world, but it was because I wasn't living up onto the standard that is expected as a young woman before God. I don't know, it's not much, but before God, it was a big deal. I mean, he had to call my attention to it. And in that period, I also hurt a lot of people because even though they probably were not operating at my own level of, you know, understanding how that this was an issue, and they probably just thought to me, I was just being unnecessarily dramatic and all, I did hurt people in that process. And that's because I had gone on to build, like, bridges. I had gone on to build, to stir up waters that shouldn't have been stirred up in the first place, you know. So yes, I did have some difficult conversations. Some people, truth is, I didn't have the heart to have this conversation, so I ghosted, which is a terrible thing, and I sincerely regret. And, you know, like, I will talk about it towards the end, how that ghosting is not good. But anyways, all of that happened, and the next level was me now handling that process in a wrong way. So now I was now like having all of this time to myself. I think that was also close to the time when that was even before that was before then. So I started even like not immersing myself in work to the extent that it's not when I'm tired or I'm sleeping off on my machine, because of course like I was working as a consultant, but I also had a small business I was running, a fashion business. So I used to sew. So I had a machine in my room until I'm sleeping off and my machine is like jerking off my leg. That's when I will now stand up and go and lie down. Like I was immersing myself so much in the work, and God is like, you don't still get it. The point is not for you to fill up your life with other things. The point for you is for you to, in this season, spend time with yourself and spend time with me and just be content and just be whole. That's the point. You know, like the point was not for me to immerse myself with work and kill myself with work because I was trying to avoid just being quiet by myself and have avoiding running back into these people, you know. So and the Holy Spirit started teaching me, and then I think that was about the time when I had the accident, and then it was now me, myself, and Jesus. And I had to just, you know, take that time to, I read so many books in the space of like 6 weeks. I read like almost 10 books. Some of them were novels, but I read Christian novels. I read a lot. I prayed a lot. I understood more about myself, you know, my strengths, my weaknesses, points where I'm most vulnerable at and that the devil can take advantage of. I understood. I learned so much, essentially, like a lot in that period. And, you know, shortly after that, when I resumed work after that, I had to do a project in Abuja. Give me a minute.
Sorry, please. I'm recording something. Please come back. Thank you.
So in that season, in that season of quietness when I was in Abuja, I now started to understand why God was, because all this time I had been with my family. So because I had been with my family, I was you know, I mean, like there was still that kind of support, but now it was just me and the Holy Spirit. I was learning a lot about like being just quiet by myself, and then I started to do other things again in that season. And I started to immerse myself because Abuja is such a sweet city. Like, I mean, I would close from work, go to ShopRite, Silverbed, pick up food or dinner, whatever it is I was going to have, just walk around the mall and still get home before like 5:36 when I left the office around like 5. Yeah, so it was a chill city and I had a lot of time. So I now started immersing myself in like series, film, this one, that one. One day, I now had this very nasty dream and I quickly just jerked up and, like, checking the word, I don't know, I just jumped up from my bed and started praying, Father, Lord, as I just opened my lips, be like, shh, fem your mouth, fem. You cannot open the back door of your kitchen and expect rats not to flood your kitchen when there's food in it. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is definitely the voice of the devil. You don't want me to cast out these evil spirits that I just saw in my dream. Father, Lord, and the Lord be like, no, it's me. Keep quiet. There's a reason why there was a command in your Bible to guard your heart. And if you don't guard your heart, anything you see, really. And so I realized that even though, again, all things may be lawful, not all things are permissible. And I realized that I was filling my heart with so many things. And you see, the thing is, like, the battle of the mind is a battlefield. Like, you know, there's God trying to get your attention. There's the devil doing wrong. But you need to know that it gets to a point where you're, like, the deciding point. Is that it? I learned a little bit about tennis in the last week. So, yeah, maybe that's why. But, yeah, ultimately, you are, like, the decider. So, if God is trying to even deliver you from a certain lifestyle, like when I'm working with teenagers and they're telling me, well, I'm dealing with this, or I'm dealing with this addiction, what I ask them, you're dealing with masturbation, what do you watch? What do you listen to? Who are your friends? What do you surround yourselves with? Because if you have all these things around you and you can't come and be saying, I'm dealing with it, you're not just ready. For you to be ready to express the fact that you're ready or to express your readiness, you need to let go of a lot of all these things and just guard your heart, okay, so that God can work on you. But if you open up your heart to all sorts of things, even though God is really working in you, it's something that you might not get the results that you desire or that God would have to for you to have in your life. So I said all of that to say that it was a journey. It wasn't something that happened in one day, but gradually God got me to a point where I became very content. Beyond content, even, I knew what to do with myself. Like, when I don't have anything, like maybe I'm not as busy, I knew how to spend my time wisely. Like, honestly, like, I started to do a lot of productive things, maybe not outwardly, you might not see, but a lot of personal development, like reading books, watching like Christian movies or Christian YouTube videos, sermons, all of that. In a day, I can listen like 4 or 5 sermons, you know, if I'm not very busy with school and all of that. So I just learned what to do with myself, you know. So I wasn't desperate again for any sort of unnecessary affiliation or entanglement with anybody that I knew wasn't God's plan for my life. And something God told me, which is what I'm going to kind of use to wrap up all of this, is, you know, after I got to a point where I was also proud, I was like, God, I thank you for helping me get to this point, building new boundaries as a respectable young woman, and I'm so grateful to you, blah, blah, blah. And as I was talking to this piece, I said, yeah, cool, but consistency is what matters. And it's even something that reminded me of again today, you know, when I was taking my morning walk. Consistency is what makes the difference. My consistency is something that makes you win and makes you stay winning. Do you understand? Like, so the fact that I had done all of that hard work, you know, guarding my heart, getting rid of all those emotional attachments that were not of God, it was important for me to still be consistent in guarding my heart. So the Holy Spirit instructed me on how to do two things, on how to do something. And it says to me, do not give your heart to, now the thing is, you can give your heart to someone that's not even asked for it. You can give your heart to, you can be attached to someone that doesn't even know. So it's not really so much about the other person as much as it's about you. And the Holy Spirit told me, do not give your heart to someone you haven't committed yourself, that I haven't approved of, one, and someone who hasn't asked you for your heart. Me, I think I'm old school, and I really believe in, you know, I mean, you can give him signs and all of that, but I don't really think that it's advice. This is me speaking now, not like the Holy Spirit of the Bible. I don't think it's advisable for a woman to be like moving on a guy and all. So, but essentially, you know, so he said to me specifically, do not, you know, give your heart to someone I haven't approved of or someone who hasn't asked for it. And that did save me a lot of heartache. So you see this whole heartbreak from a relationship that didn't even exist. God really delivered me from a whole lot of it, because by the time I begin to catch on, the Holy Spirit is like, I don't approve of this person, and so because of that, can you please not? Or the Holy Spirit is like, this person has not even asked you, this person has not even indicated interest. So if this person has not indicated interest in anywhere in any form, you have no business catching feelings or thinking about him or other kind of stuff. And that really helped me to structure my life, you know, just become whole. And I spent a lot of time just learning myself, which is very important. Learning my vulnerable points, you know, was very, this part I'm talking about is very critical, because beyond even spending time with God, it's important to know yourself as a human being. Just know who you are as a human. So after that, I you know, I started, and I really wish honestly that I can come on here and say, and so after that, I met the love of my life and we'll be getting married in December. As sweet as that sound and as true as that may be or false, I really wish I could give you people a very cute story. I want you to understand that that's not the end. Like, that's not the whole point of emotional wholeness. Because even in marriage, you will need to be emotionally whole. You see, in marriage, if you do not understand the importance of boundaries, and that's the thing, like, because a lot of people really just put burdens on their husbands or their wives that only Jesus can carry. He can be the cutest, he can be the finest, freshest, whatever, but he cannot take the place of God in your life. So if you are attempting to make him fit into that hole or that space that only God can occupy, he'll be exhausted. You see, that neediness, undue neediness, is something that you need to let go of, because only God can truly satisfy your needs, whether you are married or you're single. Do you understand? So it was something I need to, that God had to teach me and say, like, you need to learn how to be, like, even if you are married now, you cannot, your husband's probably not going to be there all the days of your life. I mean, like, Abi is living his own life himself. He needs somebody to be there for him. So it's very important for you to understand that there's a place in your life that only God can take, and do not attempt to use anybody else to fill that spot. I don't know if that makes sense. And another thing is, like, even when you are married, it's important for you to have boundaries. Like, I don't really know, but even if you marry the most beautiful man or the most beautiful woman, it's not going to be, like, before long, brothers and sisters, your eyes are going, it's going to be open to see another person. So essentially, what matters is the fact that you are committed to this person, right? It doesn't mean that your wife will be most beautiful person on the earth. It might, she might be to you, but not to others, right? A day is going to come where you're going to see someone else, or you're going to meet someone else who's as beautiful or more, or as smart as or more, depending on what attracted you to that person. So what's going to happen at that time if you don't have boundaries, right? I see married people, they're still texting, funny texts with people. You don't have any business talking about certain things or speaking at certain times with people that are not like your spouses. Like, and these boundaries is because you haven't learned it now. That's why it's going to be hard even when you are married. You know, understanding the difference between just giving a beautiful, honest to God compliment and you being flirtatious. Some people don't know that boundary. And because they don't know that boundary, even when they are married, these are all the kind of things that are causing problems. So it's really important for you to attain emotional wholeness, okay? So I'm not going to say that, so if I'm going to be getting married soon and that's the end of my podcast. No, even if that may happen or that may not happen, that's not the goal. The goal of this is not marriage. The goal of this is being whole just because it's a way God would have you live. Do you understand? That's the motivation. The motivation is that God will have me be pure in my relationships, pure and honest, you know, and not deceitful in my relationships with men around me or women or human beings, really. So that's the goal. The goal is not, you know, now I'm married, so God helped me on that journey so that now I'm married. No. I really want to take that out of the picture so that you do not see it as the goal. The goal is for you to be whole emotionally, whether you are single or married, so that, you know, you glorify God in all that you do. And I really thought I was going to talk about ghosting, but I do not have enough time. So maybe I'm going to dedicate a whole podcast to that. But there's just wiser ways that God will have you handle these type of things. Like, there was a time, there was a discussion on Twitter, I don't know if it was last week, and how people were really defending ghosting. I was kind of shocked because, I mean, my own is, how would Jesus react to that? I mean, you're a mature adult, you should be able to have this conversation, however difficult it is, and say, I don't really think that this catching feelings or the way I'm spending this much time with you is God's will or how he will have me live, or maybe not in that way so my person doesn't feel bad, but just say that you don't think it's the right thing for you. Just say something, don't just ghost. It's not what a mature Christian should be doing. And I learned it the hard way. Okay, so I don't know if this has blessed you. I really hope it has. I know that the Bible says that God wills above all things that we prosper and be in good health. So God is interested in our wholeness, not just spiritually, not just even physically, but emotionally. God wants us to be healed. God wants us to be whole. And this bit was just my own unlearning that I had to do, building up structures in my life, you know, that has helped me so far. And for you, it might be something else. It might be an abuse that God is healing you from. It might just be like several different emotional entanglements. And I'll pray for you today, if you do not mind, for God to heal you and just comfort you with his love. And I pray for strength as well to build the structures that will help you going forward to be emotionally whole. So Father, thank you for a time where we have shared and learned. I pray for anyone who's listening to this right now and just battling with emotional entanglement or heartbreaks, whether it was from like an existing relationship or a one that was built in our heads. I just pray that your love will wash over them right now, and that you hold them in your arm and comfort them and just heal them. Oh God, heal their hearts from the inside out. Just heal their hearts in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as you heal their hearts, I pray that you open their eyes to see the places where you would have them, you know, grow from, the places where you have them come out from. And as you open their eyes to see the things you like for them to drop, oh God, I pray for strength for them to just go ahead in this time and just live a life that is pleasing of the calling of God over their lives. Thank you so much, Lord, for an amazing time, and we love you and we thank you. Amen. So guys, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. This was kind of long longer than I expected, but I hope that it blessed you, and I will be sharing the last bit next week. You do not want to miss this, okay? Have a blessed Sunday and the rest of your week. Enjoy. Bye. Love you.